Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Pullman City Council to consider tax increment financing to fund major projects. Semi driver dead in crash on Lewiston Grade. And Washington and Idaho are among 33 states suing Meta for harming youth with Facebook and Instagram. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Idaho State Police say in an updated report about a lumber truck that crashed at the bottom of the Lewiston Hill yesterday that the driver of the truck was ejected during the accident and died at the scene. Idaho State Police have not released the name of the driver, but said it was a 55-year-old man from Nampa. The 2014 Volvo semi-truck was traveling at a high rate of speed southbound on U.S. Highway 95 and lost control on a curve. The truck overturned on one of the downhill escape ramps on the Lewiston Grade. Idaho State Police say the driver was not wearing a seatbelt. U.S. Highway 95 was blocked for about 12 hours while state police investigated and workers recovered the lumber. Officials reopened the highway early this morning. Idaho and Washington are among the 33 states that are suing Meta, which operates the Facebook and Instagram social media sites, for harming children and teens. The state's attorneys general filed the suit in U.S. District Court in Northern California yesterday. The lawsuit says Meta has harnessed powerful and unprecedented technologies to entice, engage, and ultimately ensnare youth and teens. The lawsuit says infinite scrolling features induce dopamine and prevent young users from self-regulating or shutting off the platforms. Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson said yesterday, "Not only did Meta know the risk these features pose to children and teens, the company's own research demonstrated the potential for psychological and physical harm." Ferguson said, similar to big tobacco corporations, Meta has made decisions to, quote, maximize profits at the expense of the well-being of users. 19-year-old Isabella Flood Wallen joined Ferguson at a press conference yesterday. Flood Wallen said she tried multiple ways to limit Instagram screen time. She said, "The promise of gaining connection with my peers always seems to be more important." Meta responded to the lawsuit saying, "We're disappointed that instead of working productively with companies across the industry to create clear, age-appropriate standards for the many apps teens use, the attorneys general have chosen this path." The company says it is committed to providing teens with safe, positive experiences online and has already introduced 30 tools to support teens and families.
Social Security is a critical benefit for older Americans. That's why advocates want Congress to start working now to ensure the program is maintained for future generations. Suzanne Nesbella is a volunteer with AARP Idaho. She traveled to Washington, D.C. to celebrate 88 years of Social Security and also explore ways to ensure the program doesn't experience a shortfall. Nesbella says reserves for the program will be depleted within the next 10 years.
At that point, if we don't make some changes, there's a chance that there will be a 20% cut to those who are receiving Social Security. So we're just trying to get the conversation started to work on a plan to help resolve that.
More than 370,000 Idahoans receive Social Security benefits. For many, it's a big source of their income as they age. The benefits make up more than 90% of income for more than 45,000 Idahoans age 65 or older. Nesbella notes that everyone benefits from Social Security.
Even for those who have pensions, many of them rely on that. Some of the folks that are getting pensions now, relative to the cost of living these days, it's not enough. And so they really do need Social Security.
Nesbella says cuts to the program could be detrimental, especially as the cost of living continues to rise. At the beginning of 2023, benefits increased 8.7% to adjust for inflation. It will get a 3.2% boost in 2024. For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedov.
You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Pullman's Economic Development Manager Sean Miller gave a presentation to the City Council last night on tax increment financing, which could be a way to expand the city's revenue to pay for major projects the city decides to fund. A form of tax increment financing, or TIF, is used to pay for public infrastructure in urban renewal districts in Idaho. The way it works is when the value of property increases, tax on the property also increases. The city, or in the case of Idaho, the urban renewal district, would place the amount of the tax increases into a special fund for public projects. The Washington model is similar in that it requires the creation of special districts. Miller said Pullman would need to create up to two tax increment financing districts consisting of parts of the city that have the potential for economic development. Under Washington law, the districts could represent up to 20% of the city's overall assessed value.
If we decided to move forward with TIF, what we would do is we would do a tax assessed value for every building within the TIF district. Okay. And that's going to set our base assessed value, as you see in the black horizontal line here. What happens from that point is at June 1st the next year, when TIF is implemented, anytime we put money into the economic development and we see those property taxes rise, that increase in property tax from the base assessed value will be set aside into a TIF fund, which will be used to either fund the project on a pay-as-you-go basis or pay off any general obligation bonds that we may use to fund the project initially.
That was Pullman Economic Development Manager Sean Miller speaking to the Pullman City Council last night. City Council Member Megan Guido asked Miller if tax increment financing could be used to pay for a new bypass around the city. Miller said yes, and the city of Wenatchee is already working on a bypass project using tax increment financing. Mayor Glenn Johnson, who sits on the State Transportation Improvement Board, said cities around the state have been able to complete projects using tax increment financing.
Critics say a proposed hydroelectric project in the Columbia River Gorge could damage cultural resources for nearby tribes. The company Rye Development has proposed building a pumped energy storage facility in south-central Washington state. Pumped storage uses two reservoirs at different elevations to generate and store power. Simone Anter with Columbia Riverkeeper says the Goldendale Energy Storage Hydroelectric Project would be the largest of its kind in the Northwest. It would require excavation to build two big pools, as well as structures underground.
So we're talking about a huge development and digging that would destroy archaeological sites as well as cultural resources.
The Yakima Nation has opposed past attempts to build pumped storage in this area and is opposing this project because of the potential impact on culturally significant tribal sites. The Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation also says the project could impact access to their cultural resources in the region. Rye Development says the project will bring renewable energy to the Northwest without requiring the building of more dams. But Anter says the project shouldn't be considered green because of its impact on sacred sites and already burdened communities.
If we want to have a just clean energy transition, we must listen to the concerns of impacted communities and work together on siting instead of full steam ahead like we have done in the past with other energy projects.
Anter says the project still needs licensing and approval at the state and federal levels. For Washington News Service, I'm Eric Tegedov.
University of Idaho researchers say they have completed a study which concluded the greater sage grouse is able to coexist with cattle on the same ground and not decline in population. University of Idaho Wildlife Sciences Professor Courtney Conway said results from the lengthy project suggest sage grouse can benefit from living on the same ground where cattle graze. They also said sage grouse can benefit from an increase in insect biomass cows have caused. The concept for a grouse and cattle grazing research project came about earlier during a time when there was opposition to spring grazing on federal land about 20 years ago. However, at the time, there was a lack of science to inform the debate. The Daily News reports UI researchers wrapped up their study in August. UI Rangeland Ecology Professor Karen Launchbrot, Bureau of Land Management biologists, Idaho Fish and Game officials, and several ranchers with grazing leases worked on the study. Conway said, many decisions regarding sage-grouse and cattle were being made by land managers, but there wasn't a lot of science to rely on. We just didn't know what effect spring grazing had on nesting grouse, brood production, or anything else. Launchbrot said researchers are working closely with ranchers who have agreed to participate in the long-term project, and Conway's researchers who have collected and analyzed the data from 5 research sites in the state. She said, I think this is a significant outcome for the ranching community, which has wondered all along what they would do if scientists learned that their spring grazing was bad for grouse. Had we found that spring grazing had a negative effect on grouse populations, it could have resulted in the loss of grazing allotments on federal land, something cattle ranchers, especially smaller operations, need for their businesses to survive. Central Health District officials in Boise say a harmful bacteria could be linked to illnesses that may have come from an Idaho dairy producer. Several people were sickened around September 20th. According to the Idaho Statesman, Central Health District representatives said they are examining reports of illness in 5 Ada County residents that may be associated with the consumption of unpasteurized milk. According to a Central Health District news release, 3 of 5 local residents tested positive for campylobacterosis, a bacterial infection, after drinking tainted milk from Provider Farms in Mountain Home. Provider Farms says they sell raw milk directly to consumers at 10 locations between Nampa and Burley, as well as raw goat's milk, cheese, yogurt, eggs, and honey. Health district officials said state agriculture department workers assisted them with their investigation. The Central Health District said they are working with Provider Farms to, quote, mitigate any ongoing risk to consumers. Agency health officials are warning people who purchased raw cow milk products from Provider Farms in the past month to throw the milk away. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Protection, milk is considered raw if it does not go through the pasteurization process. The pasteurization process involves heating milk to a certain temperature to kill harmful bacteria. The CDC says drinking raw milk could pose health risks, especially in young children, pregnant women, elderly citizens, and people with compromised immune systems. The World Health Organization reports campylobacterosis infections happen when the bacteria spreads to humans through raw or undercooked animal products. The WHO says the most common symptoms are diarrhea, abdominal pain, fever, headache, nausea, and vomiting. According to the legal group, the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, Idaho is one of 11 states that permit raw milk sales, and another 18 states allow it to be sold directly from farmers. Proponents of raw milk point to a variety of health benefits, though many medical professionals dispute those claims. The CDC website says multiple studies have shown that pasteurization does not significantly affect the nutritional quality of milk. Scientists do not have any evidence that shows a nutritional benefit from drinking raw milk. And a programming note coming up in about 20 minutes, KRFP will have 3 candidates for Moscow City Council live in our studios to take phone calls from you, the listener. This will go on for an hour between 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. 2 weeks ago, on October 11th, we had 3 of the 6 Moscow City Council candidates running this year, Bryce Blankenship, Joe Campbell, and Drew Davis, on the radio taking your phone calls. You can listen to that phone-in forum archived on the KRFP website. Tonight, we'll have candidates Evan Holmes, Sandra Kelly, and Nathan Tupper on the air taking listener phone calls for an hour. So tune in at about 6:30. The phone number will be 208-892-9200. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, the National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory starting at 11 p.m. tonight and running through 1 p.m. tomorrow for areas above 2,000 feet in elevation. Total accumulations up to 1 inch, except 2 inches on the Camas Prairie. The winter weather advisory is in effect, or will be in effect, for the Idaho and Washington Palouse, the Lewiston area, Lewis and Southern Nez Perce counties, Lower Garfield, and Assotin counties as well. Plan on slippery road conditions. This may impact the Thursday morning commute. Slow down and use caution while driving. The latest road conditions are at 511. Forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. 60% chance of precipitation tonight, a chance of sprinkles and flurries before midnight, then rain and snow likely. Patchy fog between 9 p.m. and 4 a.m., snow level 3,500 feet, lowering to 2,600 feet after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy, low 26, new snow accumulation less than half an inch. 40% chance of precipitation tomorrow, a chance of snow before noon, then a slight chance of snow after 5 p.m., mostly cloudy, high 37, new snow accumulation less than half an inch possible. Thursday night, 30% chance of precipitation, a slight chance of sprinkles and flurries before 7 p.m., then a slight chance of flurries before midnight, and a chance of snow after midnight, patchy fog after 10 p.m., little or no snow accumulation expected, and on Friday, 30% chance of snow, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise partly sunny, high 40, little or no snow accumulation expected. Currently 41 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. You can also go to the KRFP.org website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP, and there you can adopt a DJ. You can underwrite programming to let our listeners know your business supports community radio, and you can also use a PayPal option, and there's a Patreon button as well. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good night. Coming up next, we'll have a couple editions of Noise Filter and then the live call-in candidates forum, 6:30 to 7:30, with candidates for Moscow City Council. Lockdown Mosh Pits on at 7:30, and at 8:30, music begins in earnest with Grateful Dead Through the Decades, hosted by Arlene. So stay tuned for all that. KRFP Moscow Pullman.
KRFP is supported by listeners like you and by Moscow Ale House, with something for everyone in the family. You can find Moscow Ale House at 226 West 6th Street or call 208-882-BREW. That's 208-882-2739.